Message this morning is found in Jonah, the very end of chapter 1, starting at verse 17, and we're going to go through the chapter 2, Jonah 1:17 through 2:10. Let's go ahead and open in prayer. God, I just thank you. God, I thank you for the truth of your word. God, for the applicability of your word. God, that you still speak through your Holy Spirit. That you touch us, that you renew us, God, that you stir us up, God, that you draw us closer to you. So, God, I pray that as we hear your word, God, that your word touch our heart, God, that it would touch fertile ground, God, that we would be transformed, renewed, God, that we would be drawn closer to you, God, that we'd be in a closer relationship with you, with one another. God, and I pray that any distraction, anything that would pull our minds, our hearts away, God, that you would take that away now. And I just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Jonah chapter 1, that verse, 17th verse, all the way through the chapter 2. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the stomach of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord from the stomach of the fish. And he said, I called out of my distress to the Lord, and he answered me. I cried for help from the depth of Sheol, and you heard my voice. For you had cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the current engulfed me, and all your breakers and billows passed over me. So I said, I have been expelled from your sight. Nevertheless, I will look again toward your holy temple. Water encompassed me to the point of death. And with the great deep engulfed me, weeds were wrapped around my head. I descended to the roots of the mountain. The earth with its bars was around me forever. But you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. While I was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you and to your holy temple. Those who regard vain idols forsake their faithfulness, but I will sacrifice to you with a voice of thanksgiving. Which I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation is from the Lord. Then the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah up into the dry land. I've entitled my message, Finding Grace in the Darkness. So chapter 1 concludes by stating that God appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah. This word appears several times throughout the story of Jonah, appointed. And it serves as a reminder of how much we have to be thankful for, as it highlights that God is in control and never caught by surprise. More profoundly, it illustrates that God can use our shortcomings to teach us important truths and to show us grace. When God chose Jonah to go to Nineveh, he knew that Jonah would choose to go the opposite direction. God was not surprised by Jonah's abandonment. Instead, he embraced Jonah's journey to teach him more about who God really was, his graciousness, and his mercy. The fish symbolizes that we cannot escape from God, his will, or his ways. Furthermore, it reminds us that God in his grace and mercy is patient with us, even when we struggle to be patient with others. The text describes Jonah as descending, going down to Joppa, going down into the ship, down into the lower deck. Now he finds himself sinking further into the ocean's depths in the belly of a fish. This may seem like a retreat from God, yet is often in places of brokenness that we can experience the fullness of God and his grace. Only when we acknowledge the limits of our own strength can we truly appreciate the beauty of God's mercy. Jonah received God's call but chose to run from it, and only after his stubbornness brought him to the breaking point could he recognize the futility of relying on himself and running from God's grace and calling. It was at his lowest point that he could finally call on the name of the Lord. Our first point this morning is darkness can swallow us up. 1:17 It says, and the Lord appointed a great fish, not a whale. Okay, sometimes we can picture a whale, and maybe it was a whale, but it says a great fish in Hebrew. And the fish swallowed Jonah, okay? And Jonah was in the stomach of the fish for 3 days and three nights. I don't know what that would have been like, but I don't imagine it was a good experience, okay? For all intents and purposes, okay? All time was lost to Jonah. Jonah doesn't know if it's night. He doesn't know if it's day. He doesn't know. He can't look at the sun and say, oh, it's probably 3 o'clock in the afternoon. He is in this belly of this great fish, and he's surrounded by a total darkness. And it's uncomfortable. The fish is probably trying to digest him. There are stomach enzymes that are trying to, are irritating his skin. But not only is he in a dark place physically, but spiritually, Jonah's in an extremely dark place. He's been called by God, okay? And he's running from what God has called him to do, okay? He's called to be a prophet. He's called to be faithful. He's called to do what God has called him to do. And God had called him to go to Nineveh, but in Jonah's anger and his dislike, his hatred of the Ninevites, because he knows deep down that if I go there and I preach and they repent, they change their ways, that God will show them mercy. So, if I don't go, they can't receive mercy. So Jonah's anger, his depression, he's in such a bad place spiritually that he's willing to allow a city of over 300,000 people be destroyed because he is upset about how the Assyrians have treated his people. His dislike and hatred has brought him in to a low and a dark place. We're no different. So sometimes, okay, we get in these dark places and they are completely our own doing, okay? We decided to allow disobedience to overtake our lives. We did not want to be faithful to what God was calling us to do. We did not want to be faithful to who we are and what God created in us, okay? And so we run from God, we disobey God. And oftentimes what that happens is as that happens, it's just not a single, time of disobedience or telling God no, but what that leads us into is a season of rebellion, a season of sin. It draws us further from God. It pushes us further from God. And what we do is we end up in a truly dark place. And so Jonah's in such a place that he's almost in such a depressive place. Remember, he's in the bottom of the boat and he's sleeping while a storm's going on. Okay. It's not that he's indifferent to the storm. He's probably in such a dark place that he's just like sleeping. And then when he gets up, he says, "Hey, throw me overboard. Let my life end in the deep. I'm so messed up right now. I'm running from God. I don't want to do what he's called me to do. I don't want them to experience God's grace. I don't want them to experience God's mercy. Let me die a most horrible death out in the deep." And so you have to remember, it's just not that he's just gonna die in water, but for the in the ancient Near East, the deeps of the water were places of chaos. They were scary places. They were places of destruction. You did not want to experience the deep places there. So Jonah's in a dark place, and we get into these dark places when we get into a seasons of rebellion. So sometimes our darkness is self-inflicted, okay? We just choose, I'm not going to do that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to change a career. I don't want to go in a different direction. I don't want to do what you're asking me to do, God. I enjoy where I am at, okay? And it might not even be that you want to be an agent of grace, a mercy, or you want to withhold that from some, you might just be like, hey, God, I don't want to do what you're asking me to do. I don't like that. I don't want to do that. This isn't what I have planned for my life. And so we go into this self-inflicted rebellion, and it keeps us, it pushes away from God, it drives us from God. But there's other times that our darkness is not self-inflicted. It's almost unwarranted from our personal. We've not done anything wrong. We've not sinned. We become like Job, where all things are bad, things are happening to us. We're just in a dry season, okay? We feel like we're separated from God. We are in a dark place spiritually, and it seems like darkness is all around us, and we don't know how to get us. And what we have to make sure is that the darkness does not swallow us up. That darkness doesn't drive us. Because what happens is you end up in a season of rebellion. You start rebelling against God. Or you just end up in a dry place, and all of a sudden that you feel like my prayers aren't being answered. My time of reading scripture doesn't seem to bear the same fruit. It's not speaking to me in the way that it is. And what happens is now, you know what? I don't feel like going out to church this morning. I don't feel like going to prayer meeting. I don't feel like going to Bible study. And all of a sudden, we're inching further away. Our relationships is getting further away from God. Our spiritual senses are dulling. And the next thing is we're in sin. We're in a spiritual depressed place, and we're surrounded by darkness, and we don't know how to get out of it, and it's just spiraled out of control. And where we're supposed to be in life, where God has called us to be, we are completely someplace else. This is exactly what Jonah's doing. So darkness can swallow up, but do not allow it to. You have to do what Jonah did. Our second point this morning is seek God in the darkness. Okay? Jonah's, he's been in this belly. We don't know how, first off, he's in the belly of this great fish, okay? And the Lord appointed this fish to come. And he's sitting in this, but we don't know how long Jonah was in there before he began to pray. Did Jonah get swallowed up and say, oh man, I am not in a good place. Let me pray. And Jonah had to have a time of prolonged prayer, of seeking the Lord. We don't know, okay? Or was Jonah still so stubborn and thought, well, you know what? This is where I meet my end. I'm just going to be eaten by this fish. And he doesn't pray until the third day. We don't know, okay? But what we see is here in Genesis 2, this is actually, they call it the Psalm of Jonah, okay? It reads, it sounds like it's structured like one of the Psalms. And we think that Jonah actually wrote it after his experience with the great fish and his experience in Nineveh. We don't know exactly what Jonah's prayer was. But it says that he prayed to the Lord. And so one of the things, well, we are in a dark place. We have to seek God in the darkness, okay? We can't just say, oh, God, I'm just going to wait for God to come. I'm going to wait on the Lord and let the Lord come to me, and I'm going to allow his deliverance. No, we need to seek him. Just like Jonah's in the belly of this fish, and he prays to the Lord from the stomach of the fish. He says, I called out in my distress to the Lord, and he answered me. He doesn't wait till late in the psalm. He tells you, I call up to the Lord and he answered me. He says, I cried out from the depth of Sheol and you heard my voice. He's saying, I went down to the grave. I was in such a state. I was almost in the grave and I called out to you and you answered my cry. He said, for you had me cast into the deep, into the heart of the sea, and engulfed me. All your breakers and billows passed over me. He's saying the stormy sea passed over him. Jonah just didn't sit on the top, that he began to sink down into the depths of the water. before the fish came. Jonah may have prayed, even began praying before the fish got him. He's out in this storm. We don't know how long it took for this great fish to come. I think it's, we missed the point. We want to know, oh, when did Jonah pray? Did Jonah pray in the fish? On what day? Did he pray before the fish? It's not really the point. The point is that God appointed this fish and that Jonah prayed and then God answers. Okay? Verse 4, he says, I said, and I have been expelled from your sight. Nevertheless, I will look again towards your holy temple. To get that. In the midst of all this, he says, I have been expelled from your sight. It's interesting where he says, expelled from your sight, okay? And what he means is he's being taken down in the deep. He's not necessarily acknowledging that he's ran from him. He's acknowledging that he's being taken down into the deep. He's taken further away from the temple. And he says, but nevertheless, I will look upon your temple again. He said, water encompassed me to the point of death. The great deep engulfed me. Weeds were wrapped around me. He said, I was going so far that the weeds were wrapped around me. I was entangled. I was ensnared. I could not get out on my own. I descended to the roots of the mountain. The earth with its bars was around me forever. He said, I had no way out of this. I could not get out of this on my own accord. I was down so deep, I was ensnared that the destruction of my life was going to pass from before my lips. He says, but you have brought my life from the pit, O Lord my God. While I was fainting away, I remember the Lord, and my prayer came up to you into your holy temple. Turn to God in the season of darkness, okay? Turn to God in a season of darkness, okay? Look what he says here, verse 8. He said, those who regarded vain idols forsake their faithfulness. He realizes it wasn't these other false gods, okay? It wasn't in his strength. It wasn't in his power. It wasn't in his might that was going to bring him deliverance. He had to turn to the Lord of hosts, the Lord who created the heavens and the earth. He told him he created the sea and the land, okay? And chapter 1, that God, this same God who created the sea and the land, was going to deliver him. And he knew it was no other God, it was nothing else, and not his ability. So when we get in times of darkness, seasons of darkness where we struggle, whether it's self-inflicted or it's just like a dry season, you have to continue seeking God, praying. You might even have to fast and spend some time before the Lord saying, God, I have messed up. I have been disobedient. Or God, I don't know why this is happening right now. This is a dry season. I'm not hearing your voice, but God, I am going to continue to seek you. And not only do we turn to God in a season of darkness, we worship God in the midst of the darkness. Okay? Jonah here, he's talking, okay? Chapter 2, as if he is in the midst of all this right now, he says, I've went down, I cried from the depth of Sheol, I called out in my distress. You have cast me into the deep. Your breakers and billows, they passed over me. He says, but nevertheless, I will look to your holy temple. He's praising God here right now. He's telling you about the situation, but he's praising God in this psalm. He's saying, God, in all of this, in my rebellion, in my running, in all of this, God, that you are still the Lord of hosts, that you are still good. Verse 90 says, but I will sacrifice to you with a voice of thanksgiving. That which I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation is from the Lord. He's praising God. And sometimes when we are in dark seasons, we got to praise God You hear these old saints, there's two times to praise God, when you feel like it and when you don't. And you may not feel like praising God. You may not feel like worshiping God. You may not feel like pressing in when you're in the season of darkness, and you may feel far away from God and like, oh, you don't understand. I'm just stuck, and it feels like I can't get a prayer out, and nothing is going right for me. But that's just when you do it. God, I know you're worthy. God, I know that you're good. You may not be able to shout, you may not be able to dance and run, but you still have to worship God, because he is good and he is worthy of the praise. Another reason that we see God in the darkness is only God can deliver us from the darkness. Verse 9, but I will sacrifice to you with the thanks, voice of thanksgiving. That which I have vowed, I will pray. Salvation is from the Lord. It's not from other gods. It's not from your abilities. It's not from who your family is. It's not how you can manipulate and turn this around. Salvation, true salvation, only comes from God. It doesn't come from a government. It doesn't come from anything else. Salvation only comes from God. So you have to turn to God in the darkness. You have to turn to him in these seasons of dryness, these seasons of where you've gotten yourself in trouble, and it's just you're in just such a dark, depressed place, because only God is truly. You can go to a therapist, and the therapist is going to tell you things, and they may be able to show you, well, you did this and you did this, and this is why you're in this situation. But only God can truly bring you out. Physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Here's our third point this morning. God delivers us from the darkness. Verse 10, then the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited up Jonah onto the dry land. 3 days and three nights, Jonah is in the belly of this great fish, okay? And the video that we watched, I like he makes it, and he's got seaweed on him. It seems like it's not smelling any good. It's probably uncomfortable in there. It's not a good place to be physically. But even worse, just the mental state of Jonah, where he won't be faithful. But God delivers us from the darkness, okay? You seek him in the darkness. You praise him. You worship him. And only God can deliver. Jonah's darkness and delivery is from the most unlikely places, okay? Jonah, in a million years, could not have ever imagined that he would be tossed into the sea by the sailors, and that he would be rescued by a great fish. And not only would he be rescued, but he would be in the belly of that fish for 3 days and three nights. It didn't crush him. The stomach enzymes didn't begin to eat up his body and his skin. His deliverance is unlikely. He couldn't have imagined it. He couldn't have said, let me write a fantasy novel or this novel, and I'm going to have a great fish swallow him. Jonah, you couldn't have ever thought that up. And sometimes our deliverance comes in the most unlikely ways. Not how we imagined. It's not what we thought, whether self-inflicted or not. I had a guy tell me once. He was in a dark place. African American gentleman, and he said I was an avowed racist. He said I hated white people, and he says it was my goal to either drive white folks out of America or go back to Africa. And he said he had this job, and he was laid off. And he said he was laid off so long that he stopped getting benefits. And he said, I was down. He said, the lights were off in my home. The water was turned off in my home. He said, they were getting ready to foreclose on my home. He said, I had a packet of crackers and sardines. And he said, it was my last meal. He said, I was contemplating killing myself. And he said, I heard a knock on the door. And he said, it was these white folks. These was older white folks. He said, I didn't know who they were. He said, you don't, we don't know who you are. You don't know us. But we were praying, and the Lord told us, gave us this address, this house, and told us to bring you this food. That we were here to bless you. That we were here to speak life to you and truth to you. And he excused himself. He said, God, you didn't send no white folks to save me. He said, was angry. And he came back down. They says, hey, are your utilities off? He said, yeah. They said, well, can we call? And they said, well, we're going to call and pay them for you. And they turned his utilities on. And the guy says, well, you're not working right now. I own a business. What do you make? And he told him, he says, I'll tell you what. You come here on Monday and they will hire you. And they will pay you what you make until your job brings you back. And he says, they brought enough groceries. He said, they brought me 2 weeks of groceries. And he said, they did it again. And he said, it began my healing and deliverance from being a hateful person. He says, I came to know who Jesus really was. And I found deliverence. And he says, I found a deliverance from God, with because of God, in the most unlikely places and the most unlikely people. Here's the other thing. Our delivery is for a reason. Jonah had a mission, and so do we. Jonah wasn't just delivered because he prayed a good prayer, okay? We don't know exactly what his prayer was. Okay. Jonah may have had an ugly prayer. It might not have made much sense. He may not have preached that prayer and had that hood in his voice, and it may not have been eloquent. But he prayed and God heard. But the reality of this is that God had a mission for him. He was to go preach, he was to be an agent of grace to the city of Nineveh. And here's the thing. Sometimes we rebel and God has something for us to do. And we just never do it sometimes. And there's things that God has called us to do. Call people that God calls us to minister, things to do in the local church that God has called us to do, and we don't do it, and it affects the local church, and it affects the people that we're supposed to minister to. How do we know that this person that God has called us to build a relationship and friends with, and we just don't like them, so we don't want to go do it, that maybe that they're still waiting on the precipice of heaven because we haven't went? Or there's things in the church that need to be done that we're not doing that, well, someone else is going to come do it. Our deliverance is for a reason. And let me just be clear. Jonah did not deserve deliverance, and neither do we. It's because of God's grace. Jonah was disobedient. He was unfaithful. He didn't get on the ship and come up top and say, you know what? Guys, I have been unfaithful to the Lord. I am a prophet. I'm called to go preach. And you know what, God? Here I am, Lord. Send me now. I have been unfaithful, but now I will. He didn't say that. He's thrown me overboard. He notice he actually doesn't tell. He never once here in chapter 2 says that I will go to Nineveh. He didn't say, you know what, Lord? And maybe that was part of his prayer. But what we see here in the writing and on paper, he never actually says it. Jonah doesn't deserve deliverance. We don't deserve deliverance. If we're going to be rebellious and disobedient, we don't necessarily deserve it. It's God's grace. It's why we sometimes we find grace in the darkness. We find grace in the darkness. Here's the big idea this morning. We need God's grace to fulfill our mission. Okay. You're going to miss the mark sometimes. It may not even be because of disobedience, okay? But we will miss the mark. We will not always accomplish the things that we set out to accomplish. Maybe things come up. We wrestle with life. Things just happen, right? We need God's grace and mercy to accomplish this mission. It's not something that we can do on our own ability and our own power. It's God that gives us these things, and we need that grace to fulfill our mission. We need that grace to fulfill the church's mission. We're not just saved so you don't, you're not saved so you don't, it's not a get out of hell card. You're saved to become part of God's family and work together to build the kingdom of God. To see that other people come into God's family and help build the kingdom of God. And all the craziness that we see in this world, all the political disunity, all the fighting, and all this stuff that we see going on in the world, there's going to come a time when God's kingdom is established that we will see that no more. So let me read the words from Amazing Grace, the hymn. Because we need God's grace to fulfill our mission. This is the word, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. The Lord has promised good to me. His word my hope secures. He will shield and portion be as long as life endures. Yes, when this flesh and heart shall fail, and mortal life shall cease, I shall possess within the veil a life of joy and peace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow. The sun forbear to shine, but God who called me. Amazing grace. So here's some things to think about. Do not get stuck in a season of darkness. Do not get stuck in a season of darkness. That's exactly what the enemy would love for you to do. Get stuck in a season of darkness. Stay there, wallow there, live in depression there, remain in obedience there. Don't be stuck in a season of darkness. But here's the thing, season of darknesses are going to happen, okay? Whether they're self-inflicted or not and self-inflicted. But seasons of darkness can draw us closer to God. These are opportunities where we learn about God's character. We learn about who He is. We learn that He delivers, and it can draw us closer to Him. If you're there, don't run. Don't remain disobedient. Dig in, press in, pray, worship, give God the glory. He will bring deliverance. So here's the question. What does God have for you to do that you're not doing right now? Don't be like Jonah. I mean, if there's anything you can take from Jonah is don't be like Jonah, okay? What does God have for you to do? He has the grace for you to accomplish that mission. And for his glory, let us close in prayer. God, we just thank you. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your goodness and your kindness, your grace. God, that when we're struggling, that we're in a season of darkness, that we're there, whether it's rebellion and disobedience or it's just a season of dryness, God, that you are with us, God, and that in that time we will praise you, we will seek you, God. That we will find deliverance in you, God, and that we will be faithful to our mission, God. Speak to us, renew us, draw us closer. And I just pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.